Hey, man. All right. Woo! Yeah, let's get this party started. All right. Are you guys all in Acts chapter 12? All right. Now, I told you that this is one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts. I really, 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 really like this one. And so hopefully you will enjoy it too. I think one of the reasons why I like it is it shows the people of God in real life situations. It shows the people of God not doing things correctly. It shows the people of God with faith that isn't as robust as I sometimes think we make them out to be. I really enjoy seeing this as real people. So to start us off, what is a celebrity that when they passed away really caused you some issues? Like you heard of someone dying. And obviously, the more celebrity status they had, the harder it is. If you text in, I'll get it. You're on a 15-second delay. But I'm going to ask people inside here, any celebrities that when they died, it shook you up? Kobe Bryant. That was a big one. It happened to be, I remember that day, it was the day of the Pro Bowl, I believe, and we're watching this Pro Bowl, you know, who cares about the Pro Bowl, it's nothing big, and then the announcers are actually starting to talk, and they're like, hold on a second, we're getting news in of something really tragic, and then we heard the news that Kobe died, and the world was kind of shook by that. Chadwick Boseman, I think that was... Josh just sent that one in. He comes out. Heather and I are just sitting in the living room, and he walks out, and Chadwick Boseman passing away. What a huge blow that was. Ray?
Robin Williams.
That was huge because, you know, you especially when you think of the circumstances surrounding his death, sometimes the funniest people have the greatest demons in their life, and it was a tragedy to see someone so funny, so loved by so many people pass away. Who is that? Oh, Heath Ledger. Yeah, and especially with his portrayal of the Joker and it being such a inspirational thing. Yeah, what?
Stan Lee
passed away. I just saw, I was thinking Joshua would have drawn it because it sure looked like it, that it had a picture of Stan Lee hugging Chadwick Boseman. Oh, man. Princess Diana, that's a little bit for you younger folk, be like, who's that? She was a princess, and when she passed away, it was in a car crash. She was being chased by paparazzi. It was a huge thing. Susan Burns. Cary Grant? I don't know if I was around when that happened. Wow. All right. Who is that, Lauren?
Christina Grimmie was a singer.
No.
Christina Grimmie.
Yes.
I don't know who she is.
She got stuck at a meet and greet with one of her fans. She was so young.
Whoa. Oh, yikes. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Kenny Rogers. Andrina said Mr. Rogers. Oh, Diane Slames, Princess Diana. Oh, Joshua also sent in Carrie Fisher. That was a big blow. That was a big blow to me, Carrie Fisher. Heather Manning, Prince, yeah. Heather Manning didn't die. Heather Manning texted in Prince, yes, thank you. Andrina, Mr. Rogers. Oh, Rich Manning, yeah, I get it. That one was a big one. Rich Manning lost Anthony Bourdain. That was huge blow. And let's see, Larry Schultz, yeah. Were you really around for that? You know, it's so weird because it seems like so long ago, and I know that you're old and stuff. JFK. Michael Jackson. We were actually coming home from a youth camping trip, and we were stopped at a Five Guys.
We were at a gas station.
It was a gas station? Yeah, and I just remember that it was going around the youth. Patrick says John McCain. Andrina says, we're aging ourselves. You are correct. Pam McNeil, Elvis. Yeah, yeah, wow. So why are we talking about celebrity deaths? Acts chapter 12 starts off with a celebrity death. It goes by so quickly, people don't really pick up on it. what's going to happen is probably one of the biggest blows to early Christianity to start off chapter 12. And again, most people read it and it's a throwaway line. We're back in the early church. The disciples are kind of now like the leaders of the church. They're the ones teaching and preaching. They're the ones that doctrine is being checked against. They were the ones that were actually with Jesus. Now, of course, amongst the disciples, there was a hierarchy, right? Who were what we would say the three top guys? Who were the three leaders? Anyone? Peter, James, and John, yeah. So Peter, probably the spokesman. We love Peter. He's got foot and mouth disease, and he always fires off too quickly. But we forget about James and John. James and John, sons of Zebedee, they great guys. I think I can relate to them. You know, they're coming out of this town, and this town kind of shunned them a little bit, and they're upset. They're like, man, we went in there, and we were preaching the gospel, and they kind of kicked us out, and they come to Jesus like, Jesus, we got an idea. Let's smoke them. Let's bring down some fire and thunder and just obliterate the town. And Jesus is like, I kind of don't do that sort of thing. But he gave them a nickname. You guys from here on out shall be known as the Sons of Thunder. Isn't that a great name, Sons of Thunder? So Peter, James, and John, these are the guys that are leading the church. So if you were Satan and you wanted to take out this fledgling group of people known as Christians, who would you go after? Right now, Paul is not quite important. Paul is starting to gain some prominence, but he's not quite as popular now. But Peter, James, and John, these are the big boys. Verse 1. It was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. That's it. James is dead. It's not James. This is not James, the brother of Jesus. He gets mentioned a little bit later on. But this is John's brother, and he's gone. And again, we sometimes think. We're going to live forever. We think that we're going to outlast this world, but it happened, and it happened in such a horrendous, heinous act. Herod wanted this stopped. Herod was friendly to the Jewish nation, and so he puts him to death. And look what verse 3 said. When he saw that this pleased the Jews were like, you took out James? Man, good on you. Can you do more for us? And so Herod's like, hey, I'm gaining some traction with the Jewish nation by killing off these people claiming to be Christian. And so when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. I know that some of us also, when we watch certain TV shows, we get a little shocked when they kill off the main characters, right? Game of Thrones, never watched it, but I heard they did that a lot. So many times we think these people can't be taken out. Now all of a sudden, James is dead. Peter is in jail. So what do you think is going to happen to Peter? He's going to die. Like there wasn't even some thought that was given. There was no public trial. There was no, hey, let's find out if this is a good thing or not. It was, we seized him, we got him, we killed him. That's it. That's the end of it. And now they got Peter. And now if you were the early church, you got two-thirds of the people, the two-thirds of the leadership is about gone. Peter's in jail. But, amazingly, Herod arrests him at the wrong time. When does he arrest him? End of verse 3. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Another phrase for that would be Passover. Well, this is kind of also a little bit creepy now, too, don't you think? You've got Peter arrested in jail. It's during Passover. They're not allowed to kill during the Passover celebration. So now we have to wait. But, of course, this is hearkening back to when Jesus died. I'm sure Peter, it's not lost on him. I've been arrested. I am now sitting in jail. And they've got to wait. They got to wait until the time of Passover, this week-long celebration. Once that's passed, boom, you can start killing again. And so what does Herod do? Verse 4, after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. 16 guys who are not known for their brains or intelligence, they'll be known for their brute strength, are going to guard Peter. Now, Peter, is he a buff dude? No, nah, I mean, he can fish. Yeah, he can slice, but that proved his inability. He went to go kill someone in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he just swings the sword so wildly that it glances off this dude's head and chops off his ear. So Peter's not the brightest bulb in the pack. Why do you need 16 guards? Because I bet Herod knew of Acts chapter 5. What happened in Acts chapter 5? Jailbreak! That's a Sunday we didn't sing Jailbreak. We're going to sing it later today. Another jailbreak's about to happen. Peter had been broken out of prison, and it was this great miracle. And so Herod's like, you know what? I've seen this happen before. He got out. I'm going to get 16 guys, and we are going to clamp down, and this is going to be perfect. So four squads, four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now, if you want to know a little bit about that word earnestly, there's another word you can use to translate it, which I think is kind of shows it a little bit more. It really means to strain, like to really like push. This is the exact same word used in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is earnestly praying. And as Jesus is earnestly praying, it's so much pressure that we believe that a lot of the capillaries in Jesus' face started breaking, so that when he was sweating, there were tinges of blood inside the sweat. So this is not, hey, all right, man, let's just pray. All right, dear Lord, be with Peter. He's probably lonely. He's probably sad. He's probably depressed. And so, like, strengthen him, God. Okay, amen. Let's have some food or something. That would be cool. Yeah. No, they are straining in prayer. Now, question: what do you think they are praying for? What would you be praying for? Peter's in jail, guarded by 16 dudes. He's going to be put to death, and we're going to find out in the next verse. He's going to be put to death tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day he's going to die. Passover is over. We can kill him. So, what would you be praying for? Just out of curiosity. You would be praying for a jailbreak. Like, I know I would. Like, dear God, we saw that you broke Peter out of prison before. Can you break him out of prison again? Right? What else would you pray for? Change in Herod's heart. Dear Lord, Herod is a wicked, nasty old man, and he's going to kill this guy. Can you please stop it? Turn him to Christianity so that he doesn't kill Peter. Great prayer. Anyone else? Dear Lord, please let this giant eagle, is he doing a jailbreak too? Yeah, the eagle's doing the jail. He's got the keys and he's coming in. Oh, that would be, man. Yeah, pecks them all in that. Yeah, I like this. Yeah, yeah. Would any of you, now, yeah. I don't want to say this in a derogatory fashion because I believe it's a very biblical prayer. How many of you would not pray for Peter's jailbreak, but just pray that God's will be done? Yeah, sometimes, now I've spoken on this before, and I think it's really important to make sure we get this distinction down. Praying for God's will to be done is always good. I think that sometimes we use it to mask our doubt. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing at times. But I do believe that when we pray, sometimes we're worried, well, if I pray for this and it doesn't work, then that must mean that either God couldn't do it or I don't have enough faith. I know that if I took a quick poll, who here believes that prayer actually works? Right? Everyone believes it, right? Now, because we have to. Like, that's what we're taught. Prayer works. But does it always work for you, out of curiosity? Have you ever been called in? I've been called into certain situations, and it's really hard. I've been called into situations where people are on their deathbed. I remember vividly when my mom had a heart attack, and I took her over to the hospital, and they got her hooked up, and then the doctors came out, and they said, "You're the son." I said, "Yeah." They said, "Her aorta blew, so we can't repair it. It's ribbons. It's been shredded. It blew, so we can't even like fix it. We can't get in there and fix it. It's gone." I remember praying, "Lord, heal her," but I'm going to be honest. I did not believe at that moment in time that there was going to be anything that would happen that would cause her to be alive the next breath. I think we've all faced that. And I think sometimes when we face situations that are so dire, we come up with the belief system that we want to be safe in our prayers, so we just don't boldly ask because we don't want it to not work. So I get it. I mean, if you have any sort of level of guilt that I get, I'm sure you have it. You know, you want to believe. You know in your brain that God can do anything, right? We all know that, but it's hard because sometimes we don't see it happening. Also, what if someone said, "Well, why would God save Peter and not James? James died. What makes us think that, like, is Peter more special?" If you have ever doubted prayer, you're in good company. I remember after studying this the first time, it opened my eyes to this. I was like, wow, I think I've been feeling a lot of guilt on things because though I know theologically God can do anything, sometimes I just don't believe he will. And I limit God. So they're praying earnestly. They're straining. This is one of those all-night prayer sessions, right? And this isn't something like if they're holding hands, they're like squeezing each other's hands. They are passionately, "Oh, God, please." This isn't something that they're like, they really, 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 really want this to happen. So the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, what would you be doing? You're in jail. The place stinks. Other people have crapped all over your jail cell. There's rotten food over here that are being eaten by rabid mice. Blood splatter on the wall. It's cold. It's dank. It's dark. And it's the night before you will die. What would you be doing? Maybe I'd be praying. I'd probably be freaking out, like, what is it going to be like to die? How will I die? I think at this point, I don't know if they've fully decided. I don't know if they've decided, hey, it worked really well with James. Let's just whoop off his head. Or if they're like, you know what? Worked for Jesus. Let's put Peter on a cross too. I don't know if they've really made this decision, and I think I'd be up all night wondering. You know, have you ever had nights where the next day something big was going to happen? Well, what would happen if the next day you were going to die? Peter, I like Peter because he changes, he grows. He's not perfect. Peter doesn't have his stuff all together. But what is Peter doing? Sleeping. He's taking a little nappy poo. He's like, well, gonna die. Now, people have theorized why he's sleeping. And I think there might be two reasons. One reason could be that maybe he does know that since James was put to death by the sword. He was going to be put to death by the sword. And maybe he realized, I don't think that's how I'm going to die. Because a prophecy was made about him from Jesus himself, who said, there's going to come a day, Peter, when someone is going to dress you and lead you to where you don't want to go and stretch your hands out for you. The imagery that's given is that Peter was going to die of a crucifixion on a cross. So maybe that could be part of it. Maybe he's remembering back to Acts chapter 5. He's like, hey, Jesus broke me out of jail before. Maybe he'll do it again. Or maybe Peter is ready. Maybe Peter is ready to go meet Jesus. Any way you slice it, I just think it's funny that he's sleeping. And he's sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So do you got the idea? He's just laying there sleeping. Two poor saps, as they're doing this guard rotation, two of them have to be chained, one on his right hand, one on his left, and then there's two guards at the door. And then where are the other 12 guys? Maybe they're taking rotations and sleeping, or maybe they're just further on in the jail, and there's all these checks to make sure that Peter doesn't escape. But Peter's sawn logs, two soldiers are there, and then what happens? Verse 7, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Ooh. How many people sleep like Peter? The light goes on. You're still sleeping. The dogs are barking. You're still sleeping. Anyone? No? That's Ray? I could do that. My wife sleeps with earplugs, and here's the reason why. When our kids were little, she would hear them. They would be sleeping in the other room in the crib. And the rule that we had was I would go get the child if the child was waking up in the middle of the night to get some food. Bring the child, put the child in bed, Heather would nurse, and then afterwards I would pick up the child and I would take. And the reason why is Heather is sometimes not quite so stable on her feet at 2 a.m. after a long day of being mommy. So I'm like, okay, this works. I'll do this. So lying there, dead asleep, and all of a sudden, whack, 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 honey, wake up, the baby. I'm like, okay. And I get up and I go to the baby and I look down, the baby, and the baby is sleeping. I'm like, oh. Okay, baby. This was back before monitors. We just had the sound thing. That was it. So not the video. I wish we had the video. This would help. So I'm like, okay. So I go back to bed, and she's already asleep again. So, and then, honey, the baby. I'm like, okay. And I get up, and I run to the baby. The baby is fast asleep. And I'm like, what? Something is going on here, and I don't like this. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do my best. I laid there in bed, and I've got the toothpicks, and I'm like, I'm going to stay awake. Because why is she freaking out? And all of a sudden, you could hear, just ever so slightly over the little baby monitor, Russell. The baby just rolled over. And Heather says, Mark, the baby. I'm like, ah! So that's why Heather, to this day, sleeps with earplugs, because she can't sleep. She hears every noise. But Ray, you're a sleeper. You can sleep through. Angel of the Lord shows up in your bed. Or just not in your bed. That sounded weird. In your bedroom, and you'll just sleep right through it?
I slept through an explosion on Boy Scout
camp. You slept through an explosion on Boy Scout camp. Yeah. Whew. Well, you and Peter are the same. So, angel shows up. Light is shining. The angel leans over. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Peter's still sleeping. Hey, he gets out some of his little angel feathers. He starts kind of tickling him. Peter. And of course, this whole time, I really want to know, what are the guards doing? The guards are doing one of three things, I think. Either A, they're sleeping, which means that they sleep like Peter. When an angel shows up, they're not awake. B, they're freaking out. They're like, and the angel's just like flexing on him, like, dude. And they're like peeing, and it's really bad. Or I believe that there could be, I've seen evidence in certain scripture passages that believe that God knows how to manipulate time. So I think that very possibly, shoot, everything's frozen, and it's like Matrix. That's what I think. I have no idea what it is, but he's trying to wake him up. But what does he do? He can't wake Peter up, so what does he do? He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Now, the word for strike is the same word that Jesus uses when he talks about how they will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So this is not strike like a little chuck on the arm or, you know, hey, come on now. No, this is haul off and kick the dude in the side or punch him like kidney punch. Like, Peter, wake up. So Peter wakes up and he says, quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. He just like, chains fall off. Ah! Now, I'm going to tell you what Peter's thinking at this point. Do you want to know what Peter's thinking at this point?
Ow.
He's like, ah, why? It hurt. Oh, thanks for the chain. That was really cool. At this point, we find out, a little bit later, we find out that Peter thinks he's having a dream. Right, so, okay, I'm... Ow, that's still. Have you ever dreamed where you actually had pain? Like, I've had that. Like, ow, that hurt. And, okay, get up, get dressed. And he's like, okay. And especially if everything is kind of frozen around him in time, wouldn't you think? Maybe, I don't know what's going on here. So, then the angel said to him, put on your clothes. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, angel. Thank you. Put on clothes and sandals because a half-naked man running around outside a jail cell looks a wee bit suspicious. So Peter did so, and I love this. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison. So you got to imagine, as he's walking out, who is he passing? He's passing all the guards. Now, again, if they're frozen, that'd be great. Or they're sleeping, and that would be... And if they're... Yeah. If they're sleeping, what's the penalty?
Death.
Or you have to fulfill the punishment that the prisoner was going to have, which was, in this case, would also be death. So they're one and the same. It's death. So, and all 16 of them asleep? I'd be like, man, we got to at least take some shifts. So I don't know. I think it's frozen in time or they're frozen in fear. Yes, Joshua. Oh, so they're like walking by and they're like, hey, who are you? And he's all, and they're like, boom, down. That would be cool too. That'll be option number 4. Every time I preach this, I find new options. I love it. So they're walking out. Verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was really doing. He thought he was seeing a vision. So he's like, oh, well, this is a cool little vision. I'm just following along. So they passed the first and second guards. They came to the iron gate leading to the city. And as they walk up to it, just opens up all by itself. Oh, man. And they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel's like, pew, gone. Now, what would you start doing? I think I might panic a little bit. Like, okay, maybe this isn't a dream. I should have asked the angel for some directions. Like, where am I supposed to go from here? You are now a fugitive. The night before, you're supposed to die. Thank goodness you put some clothes on and some sandals. I'm standing out here. I think I will go to Mark's house, because that's where the church kind of gathered, and there'll be people there, and they'll take me in. So he takes off, and he's freaking out. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. He just now figured it out. He's like, oh, it's okay, real life. This is what God's doing. It's nice. So when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark. We also believe this could possibly be where the Last Supper was held at. And there they are, where the people had gathered and were praying. I love, this is so great. So they're there. Now, what are they praying for? They're praying for Peter, right? Dear God, let, you know, get Peter out. You're, you know, take him safely to heaven or something, or turn Herod's heart, anything. And so, and what happens? Peter goes and knocks on the door. He's knocking on the outer entrance, probably softly. Don't want to call too much attention to yourself because you are a fugitive that just escaped from jail in the middle of the night through an angelic being. So you're knocking on the door, knock, 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 knock. But the people, what are they doing? They're straining, right? Oh, dear God, you know, maybe they're crying out, maybe they're weeping, you know, anything. God, help them out. And so Peter's knocking a little bit louder. Guys, hello? Anybody out there? And finally, someone hears. A servant girl. Girl by the name of Rhoda. Rhoda's like, do y'all hear that knocking? I better go check. These guys are praying. I don't want to interrupt their praying thing. So Rhoda goes, and he comes to answer the door, which, again, as one person had put it, and I can't remember who said it first, it's not mine, but all the doors opened that night except the door of the Christian home. Isn't that interesting? All the prison doors, everything's wide open, but the one door that stays locked at this point is where Peter needs to go. So Rhoda comes, answers the door. She's like, hello? It's like, hello? Hi? Peter here? How do we know it's you? Well, I denied Jesus 3 times. I kind of like helping out. I escaped from jail before. It is you! Rhoda freaks out. Now, it says that she recognized his voice, which means what? She didn't open the door. Knock, 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 knock. Who is it? Peter. It's Peter. She freaks out. It's Peter! It's Peter! Yeah! She runs back into the group, right? She recognized Peter's voice. She was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. So, of course, what do you do if you're Peter? Hello? Anybody? And so it's hilarious because she runs and she's like, Peter is at the door. Now, what have you been praying for? For Peter to escape from prison. And now Peter's at the door. And you know what they say? And it's this really cool phrase. You're out of your mind. If you got King James Version, great translation. It says, thou art mad. Love that. But it actually works in the English translation if you say, you're out of your mind. And I'll show you why in just a moment. They're like, you are out of your mind. You are crazy. They told her, and when she kept insisting, so this was not like, Peter's at the door. You're out of your mind. Oh, well, let's go check. No, she's like, no, seriously, it's Peter. Like, no, it's not Peter. No, I'm telling you, Peter is at the door. No, it's not him. No, I'm serious. It really, this is going on. She's insisting. So finally, they say, it must be his angel. Now, if you are unaware, we do believe, especially because of passages, Matthew 18 and Hebrews chapter 1, we know that every one of us is given guardian angels. It's actually a biblical thing. What the Jewish people had come to believe, though there's no scriptural evidence, they came to believe that the angels that are assigned to us take on our characteristics. So they look like us and they talk like us. So they come to the conclusion that it must be Peter's guardian angel. Now, do you realize how little faith these people have? It makes me so happy. They are praying for Peter's escape. Someone that sounds like Peter is at the door. Rhoda says it's Peter. They say, no, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. And instead of believing that it was Peter, they believed that it was his angel first. Now, question, if it's Peter or Peter's angel, what should you do? Open the door! Oh my gosh. You know, you want to just like, please. You were praying for Peter's escape and Peter's at the door and you don't believe it. And isn't that just like us? That is just like us. We pray for things and we know in our heart that yes, it's possible. But many of us, and I'm one of those, will say, but it's not probable. You're praying for a person that's near death, and you want a miracle to take place, but really, honestly, is it going to happen? You're praying for your marriage relationship because it's completely and utterly dissolved, and the other person has moved on and found another person, and you're still praying, Lord, heal my marriage. And sometimes I get those prayer requests. I'm like, well, I'll pray, but I mean, honestly, what's the likelihood of it actually happening? You are in extreme financial difficulty, and everything is falling apart, and you would like everything to be fixed, but let's be honest, is God going to just all of a sudden give you an infusion of cash? And I understand that. I think if I talk to anyone here, we would all believe that God can do it because we have seen it before, right? We've seen miracles. Did Peter get busted out of jail before? Yes. Did the early church know that Peter got busted out of jail before? Yeah. So they all knew that it was possible, but they still had such a hard time because they doubted the prayer. And sometimes we say, well, how dare you doubt? Because you doubt, it's not effective. So is God answering our prayers based upon our belief that they'll come true? Now, we do know that there are passages when James encourages us that when we pray, when you pray, don't doubt. Don't be tossed back and forth thinking this or that. But there have been many a times in my life, and probably many a times in your life too, when you prayed and God answered your prayer and you were like, I was not expecting that to happen. And you might think something's wrong with me. No, the early church, straining in prayer, did the same thing. Oh. So it must be his angel, verse 16, but Peter's at the door still. Knock, 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 knock. Hello? Anyone? Anyone? They opened the door, and when they saw him, this is how I would translate it. When they saw him, they went out of their mind. Because that's the play on words that's happening. Is they were saying, they were telling Rhoda, Rhoda, you're crazy girl. You out of your mind. They get to the door. They're like, I'm out of my mind. This is amazing. This great turnaround. Oh, I love it. So they saw him there. And Peter, of course, what would you start doing at that point? You would start cheering, whooping, hollering, right? You know, what do you do when you see your friends for the first time after a long summer break and you get to see each other? You're like, yeah! Right? What was that? Of course, socially distant. Yes. They didn't have coronavirus that we know of back then. So they're freaking out and they're screaming. Now, what would you do if you're Peter? Good. Guards, escape, fugitive, convict, I'm going to die. Can you keep it down? And that's what he does. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And then he described to them how he'd been brought out of prison. That must have been a great thing. They're like, why didn't you give more? But anyway, then he says, tell James and the brother, James. Wait, James. James, the brother of Jesus. So remember, Peter, James, and John, inner three, but Jesus had a brother named James who wrote the epistle that we have in the scripture known as James. If you remember, he had an interesting nickname. He was called Camel's Knees. His knees were so calloused because of all the time he spent on his knees in prayer that they were just nasty, giant globs of callous. That's the brother of Jesus. Also a big mucky muck. And he's like, tell James and the brothers about this, he said. And then he left for another place. And it's really interesting because at that point, Peter is now essentially gone from the story. Until Acts 15, big Jerusalem council is going to happen. Peter's going to show up. But this is where a shift takes place where we've been watching Peter a lot, and now we're going to start watching Paul a lot. And I just love this little after note here. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. So, I mean, what was their story? Like, did they say, we saw an angel? Did they say, we saw nothing? Did they say, we were asleep? It didn't matter because after Herod had made a thorough search for him, for Peter, and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. So, gone. So what do we do with this? Pray boldly. I've started to learn more and more as the years have gone on. I have gone from just simply praying that God's will be done, which, please, that is a beautiful, awesome, godly prayer. Jesus prayed it, not my will, but your will be done. But I've also gotten to the point of saying, you know what? I have seen crazy things happen. Years ago, there was a woman who attempted to take her own life. And she hung herself from a two-story parking garage. And she was a member of the church. And I remember that someone found her, but she had not died. But she was in a coma. And I remember Heather and I, we went to the hospital. I don't know how many times we visited her. And we prayed for her. And you know what we prayed for? That she'd get better. But honestly, how much did I believe it at that point? I mean, she's in a coma. And the doctors are saying, there's nothing here. And we prayed. And then time went on, life went on. We stopped visiting. She became a ward of the state. Had no idea what happened to her. Till one day we got a phone call. It was her. She had woken up. I don't even remember how many years later was that. Many years later. We're still friends with her on Facebook. She now has a husband and a couple of kids. I don't know how many. Two girls. I've seen some crazy stuff. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what crazy thing you need to pray for. But maybe you need to pray it. And just pray it. You know what? I don't even care if you doubt it, because you know what? God is good whether you believe in that prayer or not. That's what I take away from this, is that sometimes God says, yeah, you're struggling in your faith. Yeah, you're really struggling to believe that this is going to happen. But I still love you as my child, and I'm still going to honor your prayer request, even though you don't even believe it. Because I think for all of us, we would say the same thing about our own faith, right? We say, God, save us, and we think to ourselves, I mean, man, if God only knew the stuff that I did, if God only knew the thoughts that I think, I would know God would totally and utterly reject me. Everyone else has, but God hasn't. So when you pray, pray boldly. Say, God, heal this person of cancer. Because can he? Absolutely. Will he? Man, I'm going to ask. I'm gonna say, God, please. And if he chooses not to, that's okay. But if he does, then may God be praised. Pray boldly. Pray for those people. Pray, you know, I love what you said, Lauren. Let's pray for Herod, that maybe his heart would be turned. Because I heard that, and I'm like, that is such a stupid prayer. Like, is God really going to turn Herod's heart? Like, can he even oh, God, that's right, he can. I'm a doubter. I doubt these things, but I got to start praying more boldly. God can do amazing things in our lives. Let's start asking. Let's start praying. And if you doubt the power of prayer, you're in good company. But maybe God will do something for you so that you go, may I never doubt prayer again. Let's pray. Father, it's so difficult because we have such little faith, such immature faith, such underdeveloped faith, because we doubt. And Lord, I think of our car accident, and you did miraculous things. I think of Kelly, and you brought her out of a coma. I have seen you do miracle after miracle after, and I try, and I think to myself, this tinge of doubt comes in saying, well, maybe there's an irrational explanation for this. But it's you. It's you, and it's always been you. Thank you for loving us, for caring for us, and for even answering our prayers, even when we don't think you're going to do it. That just shows how great you are. And Lord, some of us doubt that you can forgive us. Some of us are trapped in a jail. We are trapped by our own design. We are trapped because of our sin. And we think to ourselves, there is no way that you can love us. There is no way that you can forgive us. And you say, I can and I will and I do. Because your grace is so good that even while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. So sometimes, Lord, we need to be reminded that even if we're in jail, even if we're on lockdown, you hold the key. You give us freedom. You are the one that provides the jailbreak for us. And may we enjoy the celebration of knowing your love for us. And may we not doubt. May you overcome our unbelief. Help us so that we can continue to trust in you more and more because of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.